Shalom. Welcome to Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth. I am your host, Elder Lydia, and today's topic is the psychology of repentance. The psychology of repentance. We don't often think about repentance in terms of what is happening in the mind, but venture with me as we take a closer look at the psychology of repentance. What happens? What actually happens when we change our minds? Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, we come before you as humbly as we know how, giving you all of the glory, all the praise, and all the honor, recognizing you as our true and our living source of all things. We praise you, O God, for resources, but you alone are our source. You are the source of our life, of our strength, of our health. You are the source of our deliverance, and we honor you. Oh God, we give you all the glory today, even as we delve into this subject matter, the psychology of repentance. And we ask you, Father, to lead us and to guide us, Lord, and to give us revelation, even directly from the throne room, as we talk about this concept, oh God, and as we recognize you as the master of psychology, because you being the creator of these minds, you know well how they function and what exactly happens when we turn and when we return to you. Oh God, we honor you as we go forth in the name of Yeshua. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, you may hear words like mindset, frame of mind, mentality, persona, psyche, attitude, character, temperament, behavior, and even things like what makes a person tick, all within the confines of psychology. A basic definition would be the study of the mind, which also includes thought, personality, and mental processes. So that it's also talking a bit about the brain. This word is derived from two words, psyche, meaning mind, soul, spirit, and ology, which simply means the study of. So what happens when we change our mind? Change is an absolute necessity for growth. Without it, we remain stagnant, and stagnant things will eventually attract vermin, dis-ease, and death. We cannot be rigid in our thinking. We are making decisions all day, every day, without even realizing the constant motion that is taking place in our minds. From the very beginning, when Yahuwah created humans, we were created for reciprocal relationship with the Creator and to assimilate knowledge and wisdom and to attach significance and to evolve. Neuroscience calls this ability of the brain to evolve and to create new cells, neuroplasticity. So we were created with the ability to grow and change. Our brain's original coding was disrupted by the entertaining thoughts of the serpent and then disobedience to Yahuwah. This caused a cascade of effects to our bodies, minds, souls, spirits, and all of creation. Our minds that were ever increasing in the knowledge and wisdom of the kingdom now see the effects of death, separation from its life-giving source. The brain is suddenly receiving signals it wasn't created to receive, resulting in rewiring and alternate neural pathways being created. Now man has the capacity for sin and death and is separated from its source of life. Yahuwah, in his infinite love and wisdom, of course, toward us, implanted a promise, a seed of encouragement in the minds of Adam and Eve after they had fallen from grace. Even in the midst of judgment, his love reigned over them. And a seed, an actual seed, was promised, a seed that would come through 42 generations through the woman, yes, but also a seed in the mind of those who were now separated from their first love, the Creator, with whom they had an overarching relationship. That seed in their minds, we see glimpses and glimmers of as we read of the seed, as we read of the kings and the judges and the prophets and the words that Yahuwah would put in their mouths to speak, the encouragement that he would speak over the people of the promised Messiah, the promised Savior, the seed that was to come forth from the woman, that not only was that seed going to manifest physically, but there was a seed in their mind so that they would remember the things that were spoken by Yahuwah, a seed that was planted in their mind that will rewire their thoughts to remember that there is a promise that awaits us. There's a promise that we'll be free from these things that happened even in the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned against God. There is a promise that is flourishing and that is moving. And as we go from generation to generation, there's a seed that is flourishing among us that we don't know yet what it's going to look like, but we receive the promise of the seed through the prophets that as they bring forth the word of God, and as we come return to him, and when we fall and we come back and we return, and he continues to remind us of the seed that was planted on that day. As long as the seed was allowed to flourish, so did the people. As long as they, after they fail, as long as they return back to Yahuwah, the seed continues to flourish. But that seed continued on. Even in the midst of their disobedience, the seed had already been planted. That seed that would come through that 42 generations. And from time to time, they would forget about the seed and they would sin against Yahuwah. But then he would bring them back. He would cause it to come back to their minds. He would shake their memory. He would shake their minds so that they would remember. Remember to return. When you return, things will come back into alignment. So that rewiring would take place. It's as if they were going into altered states because the enemy wanted to take them. He wanted to repel them away from their destiny, their place of destiny, their place of being a light unto the Gentile nations. He wanted to repel them away from the seed that was promised, but he didn't. The enemy didn't understand that there was no way that he could stop it. The seed that was coming down through them, it was unstoppable. It was unshakable. And as long as the people flourished, as long as they continued in alignment with the promise, as long as they continued in right fellowship, as long as they stayed plumb with the standards of Yahuwah, they received the promises that he gave them in Deuteronomy. But as soon as they forgot the promises, they received the curse. So they went back and forth between the promise and the curse. And yet the seed of promise still was in the making. It was still coming down through that 42 in generations. Amen. As long as they remembered the promise, they would stay in alignment. But the adversary, the common enemy of humanity, and Yah, in his mission to steal, kill, and destroy, would set traps and traumas and terrorism and destruction in the path to sabotage their alignment with Yahuwah. But he couldn't stop the seed of promise, not the one that was coming physically. But he did try to alter. He altered the seed, that seed in their mind. That promise that was set in their mind that we would be free. We won't stay in captivity. The Yahuwah, he promised us. So we see where the Father continued to try to rewire their minds back into alignment, and they would continue to get sabotaged by the enemy. And he hasn't ceased to alter minds and present delusion to bewitch humanity into believing the way of holiness. The standard is old-fashioned, antiquated, out of timing, but actually it is eternally holy, is outside of time and cannot be measured by any human measurement. The adversary doesn't want anyone to see or recognize that, nor does he want us to understand our true identity. So he presents every bogus counter to what is truth in his arsenal. You see, he was once in the presence of Yah, a servant to the Most High, created for worship and honor, but a seed arose in him that flourished into a tree of pride and insurrection, resulting in what Yeshua described as him being thrust out of heaven like lightning. He and the third who were struck down are the ones who continue to oppose us, the redeemed of Yeshua, to thwart the purpose of Yahuwah in us, but we cannot let him. Yeshua has given us authority over the works of the enemy, period. But there is a requirement. We have to change our minds about the wickedness that has been diabolically implanted and ingrained in our minds and in our generations during our dispensations, down through our family lines, down through our ancestors. The plot of darkness is so wicked that it implants seeds of poverty, doubt, fear, and sheer wickedness in our generations to be passed along from mother to daughter, father to son, so we remain in captivity to his agenda, and so that we don't recognize who we are. We never learn what our identity is. But repentance is the beginning of freedom. Repentance untangles our minds from the lies so we can know truth. It opens the areas of our hearts that have been closed and changes our perceptions of the things we thought we knew. It opens up our understanding to who we are. We weren't created for poverty. We were created to prosper. We weren't created to fear. We were created for love without conditions and courageousness that has no boundaries. We weren't created for wickedness. We were created for holiness and an unalienated relationship with Yahuwah and each other. We were created to live, breathe, and enjoy life unabashed with our Creator as the center of it all. This is our life. But first, we must change our minds, repent, and allow the Spirit of Yah through process of time to rewire our minds and deliver us from the distortions that were implanted in us when we were unaware. Repentance aligns us with the original intent of the Father, setting us on course to receive detoxification. Like many of you, I wish it would happen all at once, but in his infinite wisdom, he processes us out of the evil bents and toxic tentacles that distort our view in increments of his choosing. We are being recovered from the base instincts where we had descended as we took on the ways of the world, not realizing we were serving the gods of this world who formed these thoughts in our minds to destroy us and keep us from truly being alive. We literally live from deliverance to deliverance as long as we stay on the path of truth and righteousness. Repentance stops the course of de-evolution so our minds can be recovered by Yeshua. Change your mind. Now you can heal. Change your mind. Now you can be delivered. Change your mind. Now you can align with your destiny purpose. Change your mind. Now you can ascend. Change your mind. And now you can offer the true and living Elohim worship that changes the atmosphere. It's interesting, when viewing some of the pictures of the brain, that neuroscience has discovered a sick brain has a dark density that appears to look like a dark forest with little light. But a healing mind appears like a forest with profuse patches of white that looks like light shining through the trees. I believe that is what happens as the Father heals our minds when we repent and are realigned with him. Light can now show us the things we were unable to see in the dark. And the more we surrender, the more darkness is overcome by the light. Our rational mind can function and think creatively and hear the mind of God without all the extraneous noise of toxic belief, because the light will dispel the incorrect bents and give us truth that will cause us to flourish. It all begins with a changed mind, repentance. Godly sorrow brings repentance, Corinthians lets us know. I hear people saying, I repent quite often, and have noticed patterns that are not true to its meaning necessarily. And I recognize that we don't see everything, and we definitely don't see what people are doing behind doors unless the Father allows us to discern it. But when there is a pattern of behaviors, those things we notice. In other words, what has changed? Change always shows itself, sometimes insidiously at first, but it always shows itself. It is a break in the current pattern that forms a new one, and it can't hide because it's a new formation that doesn't appear as its former self. Like, if any man be in Christ, remember that scripture? He is a new creation. All things have passed away. The old things, I'm sorry, have passed away, and all things have now become new. Repentance, a change of mind, is sparked by godly sorrow that then creates a new creation that does not resemble the old one. It's new, in need of further renovation, yes, but still new. So I repent without any change is not repentance at all. It is deception. Who has bewitched you, O Galatians? Remember when Paul said that? Yeshua never leads us to false repentance. He always leads us to life. That conviction that brings about the godly sorrow that leads us to a true change of mind and heart, that's him. And please don't be fooled by those who would say you no longer need to repent after you have received his spirit. He never told us that. But the enemy in his dirty agenda to sway you would have you believe it. Truth is, we are evolving, changing all the time. And it requires that we change our minds about wrong teaching we've received. And we don't understand that it was wrong all at once. We also have to change about wrong thinking passed down and attitudes that are unholy, that perhaps were even spiritual attacks that we didn't cast down immediately and violently, but we dwelled on them too long instead. The enemy really does push us out of alignment from time to time, but we can quickly change our minds, regroup, and come out of alignment with the lies, denounce the foolishness, get delivered, and keep our hands clean at any point. Another thing I hear quite often is people referring to their right mind. If I had listened to my right mind, I wouldn't have allowed this or that. If I had listened to my right mind, I would not have gone here or there. But we have a misunderstanding of what our right mind is. Our right mind, we say that when we catch our error, that is our right mind. Our right mind would have caught the error. But before repentance, our mind remained in an altered state of sin. And even when our decisions were right, but our mind was not. Our right mind can discern and distinguish wickedness and position us in a place to receive truth of who we are and the character of our Savior and Creator. Our right mind is plumb with the mind of Christ. Now, if there is a right mind, there is also a wrong mind and wrong thinking. Anything not plumb with the mind of Christ, the thinking of Christ, is wrong. Anything standing and functioning outside of holiness is wrong because it is out of alignment with the standard. There's only one, the standard of holiness. The mind of Christ is a reflection of that standard. Repentance brings us back into alignment with his standard, his mind, his holiness, and his original intent for humanity. Everything outside of it is in direct alignment with the adversary who has created alternate paths that mimic what is right, but instead ushers us directly into death. The book of the wise, Proverbs, says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That wrong mind brings death, but believes itself to be right. The humility in repentance is life-changing, perspective-changing, mind-healing. Changing your mind will cause physiological changes in your brain, causing hormone releases that is mood-altering. Yes, But those changes in your spirit is a reconnection to the Creator that cannot occur with any other mind change. We can change our minds about what neighborhood we wish to live in and what food we might have for dinner. And it may make us happy, but changing our mind about living in sin, living outside of our identity, our destiny and our inheritance in Christ will make us whole and bring restoration to areas of brokenness we thought in our natural minds were hopeless. Repentance or changing our mind and returning to the heart of Yeshua brings us in alignment with the promises of Yahuwah, the words spoken over our ancestors that we now receive. Listen, our repentance and humility in the presence of Yahuwah can lessen the effects of the judgment that was set to destroy us. Change your mind and perhaps Yahuwah will shift the impact of the destruction from you and yours. Repentance is powerful. It aligns us with real intimate relationship with the Creator of all things, the lover of our souls, so that we ask anything in His name and He will do it. He loves us for real. And He is not willing that any should perish. Remember those words in Scripture. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. There are things that are set to come to pass in the earth. Repentance and humility can save us from the impact, as it also positions us to receive full baptism in the Spirit, greater revelations of life and the kingdom. Repentance is powerful and never to be taken for granted, whether you just realize that you are a sinner and you have been alienated from the Father, or if you have been in alignment with His Spirit for a long time and you've been walking with Yeshua for years. Repentance still brings you into alignment with wholeness and truth and holiness, my God, so that you can survive the days ahead, so that you can be renewed and transformed. All of us have things we must take off so that we can be transformed into the likeness of Christ. Everything changes when we repent. Everything. Repentance is in alignment with Yahuwah's standard of measurement, His plumb line. And in order to stay there, we must have a lifestyle that is committed and consecrated and humbly submitted to repentance, so we be even as David was, a servant after the heart of God, obeying the commandments of God, humbled before His presence and asking Him before we make movements in our lives, because our life now belongs to Him because we've changed our mind. The psychology of repentance, glory to God, is in essence an understanding of what happens in the heart and mind that disconnects us so we can chase hard after consistent alignment with our relationship that was intended for us as being sons of God. Repentance brings us back into alignment with the Father, as disobedience takes us out of alignment. That was another kind of change of mind. Amen. Repentance brings us back into right fellowships. It positions us so that we are heard by the Father and so that He answers us. Now we're in a position, as we have changed our minds and returned to the Father, we have now positioned ourselves so that we can be delivered from the things that caused us to be out of alignment, that disobedience. The world is now in that state, in that altered state of alignment, and they believe that right is wrong and wrong is right. They don't understand that their mind, their brain was rewired out of its original state. It was rewired for sin instead of holiness. Holiness is our original state. But sin caused an alternate neural path even in our brains, because our minds will always do I mean, our brains will always do what our minds tells it to. So if we sin, our brains will rewire for that sin and it will continue down that path. But if we repent, glory to God, our minds, and when our minds are changed, our brains will follow and our brains will rewire. Amen. It will be rewired. We'll change those subconscious memories. Those thought patterns will be rewired and they will be altered. Amen. To thought patterns that are holy and righteous, to thought patterns that are pleasing to God. Amen. And all of us have to go through that process. And sometimes that process is a lot more devastating for some than it is for others. It depends on the depth that we have gone into sin, because there is levels of sin, just like there is levels of righteousness. We can stay on in a superficial relationship. We can repent and not pray very often and have the Spirit of God in us and not receive everything that we can receive. We have a great inheritance. Amen. And we need to press in and chase hard after our inheritance in Him, after that He intended that we have. We were intended to be in right fellowship. We were intended to have a reciprocal relationship with the Father. That's how He intended from the very beginning. Look at the relationship of Adam and the Father. They had an ongoing reciprocal relationship that was actually amusing. The Father would bring the animals to, as He created them, to Adam to see what He would call them. And I'm sure Adam sized them up to see, well, what do they do? What did you purpose them for? And he would name them. Glory to God. We should have an amusing relationship with the Father, a relationship that is a deep reverence, that is a deep respect and a deep love for Him. He created love because He is love. So He's the originator. He shows us how to love Him. Let's get in alignment, amen, and let the Father heal our minds even on today, so that the psychology of repentance, amen, becomes first in our lives, that we have a lifestyle of repentance, that He be constantly changing our minds, and our minds are constantly evolving into the mind of Christ. We were always supposed to have the mind of Christ. Our thinking should have always been along that lines, but because of sin and that alteration in the wiring of our brains, because of that decision that was made on that day, because of that seed that was planted and was entertained by Adam and Eve. They entertained that seed. And that seed flourished into a tree of disobedience that changed, that altered the course of all of mankind. And of course, it altered our brains. It took us on a toxic path. And we see the results of that when we look out our windows. We see the results of that when we watch our TVs and go onto social media. We see the results of that decision. But the Father has set in place, amen. Oh, glory to God. He has a standard of measurement that He is allowing us to align ourselves with. And He sent forth His Son, Yeshua, to come down through 42 generations. Amen. To sacrifice His life, because all sin is worthy of death. So He sent His Son to sacrifice His life so that we could again be in right alignment with the Father, so that our brain waves, amen, could be in sync with the Father once again, because Adam's in the very beginning, he was in sync with the Father. And now we have the opportunity, as long as we remain in the right path, to be in sync with the Father. And yes, sometimes we get off path because the enemy is constantly pressing us to get off the path. He's constantly pressing us in this direction and the other direction. But remember, we always have repentance. We can come back to the Father, humble ourselves, return and change our minds, and He will alter our course so that we are again realigned with His purpose for us. He called each and every one of us into the earth for purpose. He called us into the earth, amen, with destiny. Now, yes, we have that same enemy, amen. That is the common enemy of mankind. He is the common enemy of Yahuwah and Yeshua, and he wants to alter our course. He wants to remove us from our place. Oh, but let us chase hard after him and continue to repent in his presence. Continue to change our minds about the things that we learned that were incorrect. Amen. The Lord, he is sending us knowledge even in this hour to unlearn the things that were not correct about him. We have been taught so many things that are not correct about his character, but he's teaching us now. Let's stay in his presence. Let's keep a heart and a mind for repentance so that our mind, our brains can be rewired for truth, so that our minds stay constantly evolving and changing into the and transforming into the image of Christ. Glory to God. God bless you. God keep you and God anoint you. This has been the Psychology of Repentance. If you would like to contact us, my email address is amazinggraceextraordinarytruth@gmail.com. Amen.